Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to Starbucks. I'm your host, Anthony DiNardo. With me, we have Jim Rozavi. Jim, happy Monday, sir.
What's up? Happy daylight savings time to you.
Yes. I'm really ecstatic. Now, I'm pissed I've lost an hour. Trust me, I'm pissed. And now that's 7 o'clock in the morning today, kind of angry. I'm tired. I'm grumpy. But I'm really happy we did this.
Well, so I'm a huge fan of daylight savings time in that, like, I want it to be daylight longer in the day, right? I don't really care if it's sunny out at 7 a.m., right? I want the sun to be out at 7:30 p.m. That's what's important, correct? Right?
Also 8:30 p.m.
Yeah. Like, that's the good stuff. Right. The difference, right, is it, like, today I feel like kind of sucks. Like that first day or two getting used to daylight savings time, not fun.
It's the worst.
Especially when you're just, you know, an irresponsible person who stays up way too late. But hey, that's why they invented caffeine, right? For days like today.
You know, I'm taking a step back and thinking about this. We know Tyler goes to bed at like 5 p.m., right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's up at like 2 a.m. to get ready for the day. Why were we the ones that do Starbucks? Like, why did we think of this concept?
This is true. Because I'm not a morning person at all.
No.
Like, I work from home. My day starts at 8 o'clock typically. But like, I wake up at like 7:55. Like, I do not like getting up early whatsoever. And I
have
no
business being up and doing a show at 7 a.m. Absolutely zero business doing this. And here we are. But at any rate,
that brings up a good point about MLB The Show. That comes out on Thursday night at midnight. That's another thing. Like, why are these video games coming out at midnight? Because all that's going to do is contribute to my problem of not waking up on Friday. Because I'm going to stay up late Thursday night. So I can play MLB The Show. Next thing you know, it's gonna be 3 a.m. And then I gotta wake up in 4 hours.
I mean, you don't have to. You could be responsible and not go to work because a video game came up the night before.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not coming into work today. MLB The Show just dropped. So see you guys next week.
Adult. This is actually somewhat relevant because it happened against the Pittsburgh Panthers. So I think it was back in like 2011 or 12. Charlie Strong was the head coach of Louisville football.
Yeah.
And Call of Duty came out like the Thursday night or Friday night before the Louisville Pitt game. And he blamed the loss on Call of Duty and how the players never went to sleep. They just basically stayed up all week.
It's probably true, though.
Playing Call of Duty. Yeah.
That's what I was related to. I've never been, I shouldn't say never. I mean, I have played MLB The Show, but I've never been like that. But Call of Duty and Madden, I mean, I was the one waiting in line at GameStop. Midnight release. Buying it, going home, and then just never going to bed. So I fully understand. But that was years ago. Sure.
Yeah.
Anyways.
How about them Buccos?
How about the Buccos? How about the Buccos? All right, Jim. I want you to do something for me. I want you to reel me in. I want you to hold me back. I get this is spring training. And trust me, I'm probably one of the leaders of like, listen, it's spring training stats. Like, hold up. I mean, like, let's talk about Jacob Lamb. Like, hold up. Let's not talk about Jake Lamb. This is spring training. Stop it. But man, oh man, Jim, if this is not the ultimate season of optimism, right? Spring training for every team. The Pirates lead MLB in home runs for spring training. And I mean, we have talked. I mean, this is actually like realistic. Like, we have talked that, you know, this team can have a solid enough lineup, you know, like it has a potential to not be bad, right? But, like, could this lineup be good? I need you to reel me in because I am falling into this trap right now of, listen, like, O'Neal Cruz is a dude. And what we saw yesterday just showed he's a dude. Cabrera, we talked about last week, I think, like in depth, and he's still doing that. Brian Reynolds is Brian Reynolds. Andrew McCutchen turned the lineup and boom, right away, home run. Jack Suwinski, you're talking, you know, Jack Shakes over here. I know he's not having a good spring, but when does he? But like, you just go down this lot, like Leover Peguero having a strong season, spring right now, like outside of Rowdy Tellez.
Jim, hit the ball hard yesterday. Yeah.
Is this the Bucko Bombers?
Yeah, I guess I'll be the one to reel you in a little bit. I do think this team is better offensively than they've been in like years past, right?
Stop. Hold up. I forgot. Also, Henry Davis, who's tied for the lead.
That's true.
Among
you never
players.
Never mentioned him. Never mentioned
Henry Davis.
This lineup's better than it's been in the last 4 years, right? Like, this is the best lineup that a Ben Sherrington constructed team has you know, put out. But yeah, I'm gonna reel you in a little bit. Spring training stats are so irrelevant,
but Jim,
they really mean absolutely nothing. Now, with that being said, you're seeing really good things that you like out of people that you like, right? Especially like O'Neal Cruz and Henry Davis. Like, you really like what you're seeing out of those guys. But I want to bring you back to 2022, DiNardo. 2022.
Don't. You said you would never do that to me. You know.
Guess who led all of the majors in spring training home runs?
Oh, in 22. Wasn't that catcher from New York? Yankees
spring training, so like the team home.
Oh,
runs.
Oh, the team. I thought he was talking about the player, which actually I think he also did. But as far as the team, okay, Pirates. But they were dripping with power in 2022, right?
Yeah. So in 2022, the Pittsburgh Pirates led all of spring training in home runs. Now, a lot of that was led by, you know, the one and only Diego Castillo, who just went off that spring. But that team went on to have like an 83 weighted runs created plus. They were a pathetic offensive team. So I guess that's just what I'm saying. Like these stats, anytime you're grouped in, and the way to figure out if it's a real stat or not this year, right, is that, are the A's near the top? And if the A's are near the top, then it likely doesn't mean anything. And the A's are near the top of this list.
You know who Henry Davis is tied for in the lead of spring training home runs, right?
Probably Miguel Andujar.
Yes.
Yeah. So there you go.
Your point. Yeah. I wanted to respectfully just omit that from my conversation. But yeah, he's tied with Miguel Andujar.
So that's where I'm coming from, is that these games don't matter. Especially like once you take out your starters, like you're basically just like who's double A players, whose triple A depth is better than the other. Like that's what it comes down to a lot of times. Now, again, I go back with that being said, you're seeing really good stuff out of Henry Davis and O'Neal Cruz, which are two guys that you really want to see good stuff out of. You're seeing good offensive performances from Jared Triolo and Leover Peguero. So the guys that you want to see do well are doing well. But yeah, like, anytime it's like, oh, hey, look, Henry Davis and Miguel Andujar are doing this, or the Pirates and the A's are doing this, pump the brakes a little bit. It's fun, right? But yeah, I don't think this necessarily carries over into the regular season. And we were at Lecon Park, a week ago. That place, the wind blows straight out, nonstop, 20-plus mile-per-hour gusts. The entire day. Brian Reynolds mentioned it on the broadcast yesterday. He's like, it helps playing in a hurricane, right? He's like, if you can get the ball in the air, it's a home run. Like, he basically said that, right? So,
right. I just think you're a hater. I think you're undervaluing how good the A's are actually going to be this year. I think that's the problem. You're sleeping on the A's.
Hey, maybe I am.
That's why Vegas doesn't want them, because they're just too good.
But as soon as O'Neal Cruz, like literally right after O'Neal Cruz hit that second home run yesterday, I went on my preferred betting app of choice, and I saw that his over-under season home run total was 22.5. And I was like, I'm betting this. So I did place an O'Neal Cruz over 22.5 home run bet yesterday. And then I noticed as soon as the game was over, like right after I placed the bet, they bumped it up to 23.5.
Oh, I'll still take
it over. So yeah, so I got it at a good time.
They have one. What are the odds set if for 40? Can you adjust this? Because I might take the over on 40 right now. No, okay. So again, right, I'm running high on this. This is a little overreaction. This is just, you know, spring training hype right now. But let's be realistic here a bit. You know, we talk about spring training and like stats don't matter, right? But there's certain things that you want to see. And I'm seeing a lot of that. Like, here's the thing. We talk about that there's a lot of question marks coming into this year. Now, we're not talking about pitching yet, okay? We might just omit pitching altogether right now on this show because it's titled the Bucko Bombers. I'm focused more on the hitting right now. There's still a lot of question marks, like who is Henry Davis, right, with the catching side of it too, which, by the way, still, now we are two weeks deep into this. Haven't seen much negativity as far as Henry Davis goes as a catcher. All I have seen is him obliterate a baseball time and time again and throw runners out behind the plate. I'm liking what I see out of Henry Davis. And you said yourself, like, this team goes as far as Henry Davis. I'm not here to tell you after 2 weeks of spring training, a question has been answered, right? But like what I'm saying is, can you ask for more right now to this point from Henry Davis to feel confident that, okay, you know what? Henry Davis might be that dude behind the plate, and I'm feeling a lot more comfortable knowing that right now.
Yeah. I don't think there's much more you can ask from Henry Davis right now. Maybe, and it's 21 at bats, so it's like 25 plate appearances. Maybe less strikeouts, but even that, like, it's not, they're not egregious by any means. He's at a 24% strikeout rate right now.
Right.
But if you're going to hit, a lot of home runs. He's getting a home run every 5.2 at bats right now. If you're going to do that, then yeah, go ahead and have a 24% strikeout rate. I don't care. But you're seeing everything you want to see out of him. The defensively, I think, is the biggest factor here, because that was the question going in, right? There were questions, can he hit and can he field? But I think I at least was very optimistic that he could hit. Right.
And I think, yeah.
The question for me mostly was, where's he going to play? And I think he's answering that question for us right now. Is he going to be like a plus defensive catcher? Probably not. But is he going to like be costing you games back there? It doesn't seem like it. Like, it seems like he's just your normal catcher. You're not really noticing. You're not noticing him being bad back there. You're not necessarily noticing him being good either. Like, you're not saying, you know what, I'm noticing Henry Davis is stealing a lot of strikes this spring, which again, wouldn't even really mean anything, because umpires are just like, let's get these games over with anyways, a lot of times. So, but as far as like just how he looks, you're not seeing a crazy amount of passed balls or wild pitches. You're not seeing catching play where you're just like, we need to figure out what to do here because this isn't going to work. Like, he's going to be a catcher. He looks like a catcher. Again, is he the greatest defensive catcher ever? No, but he's not the worst.
Also, doesn't not the need worst. To be. Doesn't need to be at all.
No, as long as he's hitting.
Right. Yeah, man, I'm with you. You know, to know that we are 2 weeks in, and there really hasn't been a time at all where it's like, man, Davis behind the plate, I don't know. You've just never really talked about it. And that is a good thing in itself. Because if he is someone that you just don't talk about defensively, because it's good enough, I'm not saying he's going to be doing this in the season offensively, right? But we know.
I am.
I guess to stay away from the no part. We've been very confident that he's going to be a major league hitter all throughout since he was drafted and through the minors. And like, I mean, he obliterated the minor leagues last year, right? So there was reason to believe that he's going to be a good hitter. When he hit the majors, it was nice at first. And then obviously the injury took much of his power, and probably his issues came about, you know, because of that injury. So knowing that he's healthy this year, still question marks, right? But you felt confident he probably could be a good enough hitter. Can he be good enough defensively? And both of those are being answered. And I feel like glowing remarks. Again, he just looks so good with the bat right now. Just so good, right? So, and I know, again, stats don't matter, but like just the look of it, he looks like he's going to be a good major league hitter. I'm confident enough going into the season that he might be that dude. So that's a big question mark that's leaning towards a very positive answer.
Right. And I'm not going to let Bucko Mike get away with a comment like this. I know he hates on Davis all the time, but like he's doing this against good players. He homered off of Corbin Burns. He homered off of who was the guy against
Detroit? Not Lorenzen.
Matt Manning.
Yes. Wait.
I mean, but the homers that he's hitting, they're off of major league starting pitchers. He's not doing this against the scrubs who come in later in the game. He's hitting home runs early on in the game, and he's hitting them off of major leaguers. So, like I said, Bucko Mike's a hater. He's going to hate on Davis for as long as he possibly can, but he's not doing this against minor leaguers. Like he's hitting major league starting pitchers.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's one thing that's very positive. And again, let's start. I mean, the guy who's on the graphic too, O'Neill Cruz, right? There's a huge question mark about him, and it's just health. Well, mainly health. The other one was we still don't really know what he is, because last year was his like sophomore season, basically coming off the rookie year. Where it's like, what are we going to find out about O'Neill Cruz? And we talked about him in spring last year. And last year during spring, we talked about a lot of positives, right? He looks the part. Defensively, he looks better. At the plate, he looks way more comfortable, right? Not striking out a lot, walking some. We never really got to see that season. So it's like, here's that season now coming, but then it's like, but also how's the ankle? And I talked about last week, the fact that he stole a base right away, the fact that he was afforded the opportunity and allowed to, told me the Pirates must feel pretty confident about that ankle. Now we have a whole more week into this. Like, he has 18 at-bats. Jim, he's walked 4 times. He's struck out 4 times. He's hit 3 home runs, 2 coming yesterday's game. The hype train. Let's get that thing rolling on O'Neill Cruz. Like you said, he took the over on the home runs. I know it's early, but man, am I loving what I see out of O'Neill so far.
Yeah, and again, the power is cool. Like him crushing 2 homers yesterday is cool. But what I'm really looking for more than anything is just like his approach. And you can tell like he's not overly aggressive like he was when he first got called up. He's having good at bats. The second home run he hit yesterday was just a great at bat. Like he worked the count, ended up getting to a full count.
Yep.
Pitcher made a few pitches. He fouled some stuff off, and then Castillo made a mistake, and he made him pay for that mistake on a 3-2 count. Later on in the game, and Derek Shelton mentioned it, that you know he really liked what he saw there. It was again worked. You know, 2 strike count. Previously, O'Neill Cruz is just striking out a ton there, and instead he at least puts the ball in play, gets an RBI out of it. Pirates get a run. So you're seeing a much more comfortable approach at the plate with him, and you mentioned it. And like I said, as many walks as strikeouts. Again, 18.2% walk rate right now. Again, I don't know percentages with this amount of plate appearances. It's whatever, but. Like he's putting together really good at bats. He's getting on base. And if you get on base for the other guys in your lineup behind you who are going to hit, then you're doing the job of a leadoff hitter. And yeah, I have a feeling, again, it's spring training. And I just got done saying that like none of this really matters. So like the home runs don't matter, right? But how you look and the approaches that you're taking, that kind of stuff matters. And we're seeing all the right stuff out of O'Neill Cruz right now. I'm excited to see what he can do. I am curious on the stolen base front. Like he did steal one the other day. I don't know how aggressive they're going to let him be this year. I don't know if they're going to maybe, you know, hold the reins a little bit. Like, is a 2020 season in the cards here? Is a 30-30 season in the cards? I don't know. Like, I don't know if he's going to get that many opportunities to like really push it on the base paths.
Right.
But at the same time, like, if you really want to utilize his skill sets, like, that's part of what he does. Like, he's really fast. So take advantage of it. Right. Yeah. So I'm curious to see how they utilize him in that aspect this year. I'm curious to see how much playing time he gets. Like, do they give him a pretty good amount of off days to keep him fresh? Those are kind of the things I'm looking for, but you're seeing everything you want to see out of him right now.
Yeah, I think all that's fair. And I mean, you're right. Like, we know the talent, and he absolutely has the ability for like a 30-30 season. But it's one of those things, like, is he going to be afforded the opportunity to, like you said, like, are they going to hold him back? And this is a completely overreaction off of just one stolen base. But again, like, the fact that he, the first time he got on base, he went and stole one. Now, again, is that just like a little bit of insight as if like they're not worried? Like, hey, do your thing, kid. Or is it maybe like, you know what? Get it out of your system. You know, like go do it now. You don't have to worry about it. It's not hanging over your head. Like, you stole a base. The ankle's good. I don't know. But it's, to me, again, like, that's just something that's interesting right now as far as spring training goes. Like, the first time he got on base, he stole one.
Yep.
Like that makes you feel pretty comfortable about him. At least for me, you know, like, how that ankle is and how they look at it as well. But right. It's like everything we're talking about right now is basically what we're talking about last year in spring. It's like, it's good to see that at a household has carried over right now to this point. Like you said, like, the approach, the fact that he's walking as much as he's striking out right now, and the strikeouts aren't at like any egregious rate and such, you know, like, he looks like the more complete player that you were kind of seeing in September of 2022, opposed to like what you were seeing with him in July and August of that year, where, like, mm-hmm. you said, two strikes, I mean, he's done. You just throw him low and away and go back to the dugout, kid. you're done.
Yeah.
So yes, like, I think he's, you talk about Henry Davis being a big part of this team, right? But like, Oneil Cruz certainly is as well, because he has that superstar type of talent to him. And if he can put it together and be a good player, we already talked about Henry Davis, how good he looks. Now you're adding Oneil Cruz. And again, Jim, you're not helping me reel in, because we just talked about two guys who are looking really, really good that you're feeling very, very positive about that were question marks. And we already talked about Ke'Bryan Hayes last week, and he's just doing the same thing already. You brought up in the show, I put out the graphic. When you looked at the top five exit velocities in yesterday's game, Oneil was two of them. Ke'Bryan Hayes was three of them. And he is obliterating the baseball, which we talked pretty much always happens in Bradenton, but he's doing it.
Yeah, Hayes, another one. Like I said, the guys you want to really see look good, outside of Sawinski. You would probably like to see something out of Rowdy Tellez too, and we're not. If I have to say one good thing about Rowdy Tellez, I guess it's that, you know, he kind of has that patented Andy Haynes approach where, you know, he is walking a lot. You know, he's yeah. making the pitcher throw a lot of pitchers. He's got five walks so far on the spring. So, you know, he's at least doing that, but you would like to see him put the ball in the air hard a little bit more, which he has completely failed to do. And yeah. Sawinski being another one where you'd like to see him do something. But last year, you know, we were talking about, hey, should Sawinski be sent down and Travis Swagger to be the starting center fielder? We were talking about that this time last year.
We absolutely were. Yeah. And it's like, I don't want to dismiss what Sawinski's doing, but we know the talent that Sawinski has, but like, it just, this is part of his game also. Like, that's the thing. Like, if he could become more consistent, then sky's the limit for him. But the fact that he has like a 550 OPS right now, that's going to happen. That just seems like it's part of his game. And this is to say, like, this, I'm blowing up what his spring is right now. Okay. I mean, there's superstar players right now doing the same thing as him. But what I'm just saying is that's why I'm not talking him down so much right now because we talked him completely down last year. Like, he should start in AAA. And then he had the season he had, which again was good overall, but he struggles a lot. He's very streaky. And so, like, I really don't care too much about his spring. And also, like, there's no one gunning for his job right now.
Yeah, there really is. I mean, there's no one else there who
who
deserves that spot over him. So yeah, he's not fighting for a spot.
No. So again, I don't know, man. Like, I just, there really isn't anything. Like, right now, it's almost all best case scenario that's happening for this club offensively. Like, again, like, outside of Jack Sawinski, we talked about, which is like, whatever. And Riley Tellez, whatever. I mean, like, everyone's pretty much playing quite well that you want to see or need to see.
You probably, if I had to complain, like, whoever is in the running for that right field job, I guess, I mean, Kanan Smith and Jigba's come on here the last week.
Yeah.
Like, you haven't seen a whole lot out of Edward Olivares. Palacios has really only played, I think, one game, maybe two. So, again, there's still 2.5 weeks, 2 weeks left of spring training. You would like to see something come out of that right field spot where you don't feel like that's a black hole. Because right now, no one like, I'm not super confident in anybody who's fighting for that right field spot or that fourth outfielder spot for that matter.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. And, you know, like, Hunter Joe started off very, very strong. He's cooled off a bit now too.
Well, and then Connor Joe's another one of those guys though, where, like, I don't really care how he looks. Like, I think we all know who Connor Joe is at this point. Connor Joe he's going to hit lefties very well. He's going to get overexposed if he plays against too many righties. He's a role guy. But the guys who were, you know, you want to really maybe see more from, Olivares being the main guy. Like, you kind of, if he can end up being something that helps out this team a lot, and we just haven't seen it yet. But again, it's March 11th.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's fair. That's absolutely fair. but all right, man. So I don't know. I will say this again though. I was excited that baseball began because baseball's back, right? A few weeks ago, spring training, pitchers and catchers reported, like all that. Like, I'm excited. Baseball's here. Now I'm getting a little more excited of, could this team, I'm not going to say exceed our expectations, right? Because, like, our expectations about, like, a 75 win team, and I still could see that, but I think we were, like, nervous that it could also be like a 70 win team. And I think, like, right now I'm starting to feel a lot more confident in, like, what this team's floor is. Not out here saying playoffs, right? Not here saying division, but what I guess what I'm saying is, like, if we discuss that this team could be a 75-78 win team, I'm feeling much more confident in that. And again, like, the 70 win floor is pretty much out the door at this point. Like, this is going to be an interesting team.
Yeah, I'm still very concerned about the pitching.
I am with that too.
So I'm not quite sure if I'm ready to say that I'm, like, confident in these guys yet, because that pitching staff just worries me. And then on top of that, you have to remember, like, there's going to be attrition on the staff too. Like, whoever, like the odds of Mitch Keller, Martin Perez, Marco Gonzalez, and then whoever wins the final two spots, the odds of them all making 32 starts this year is zero. Right? Like, something's going to happen to somebody at some point in this season, right? And then you're gonna have to rely on someone who didn't win one of those five spots. And I think that's where things have the potential to get rocky, depending on, like, what happens to that rotation. Could you go out there and be the luckiest team ever and like, all your starting pitchers go out there and they're healthy? That's what happened, like, in 2013, like, that's kind of what happened. Like,
yeah,
they all stayed healthy. Sure, that's possible. They all just,
like, kind of overperformed.
Yeah, so that's my main concern there is, you know, outside Keller, I still don't really trust anybody. Like, Martin Perez has looked good in his two spring training performances, right? So it's like, what does that really even mean? Keller's still the only guy who I really trust out there. The rest are going to have to show me something. Mm-hmm. And that's a tough spot to be in when 80% of your rotation, you're just like, I don't know if this guy's any good.
Yeah. That's
tough. It's tough to be a good baseball team when that's
the hurts case. That's what caps like this ceiling we're talking about. Again, like, I feel like because of the offense, the way it's looking, that's where I come and say, like, I feel more confident in the floor of this team not being so low. The pitching is obviously, like, because again, like, the pitching comes along, like, this team could fight for a division. That is what we're talking about. That's everything coming together. Could. That's everything coming together.
Yeah.
They need everything to come together to get there. But like, what I'm seeing so far from the offense, again, and the major part of it is Henry Davis, O'Neill Cruz, Brian Hayes. Like, who's Brian Hayes? Like, was last year, because we know who Reynolds is. You kind of know who Kutch is, right? So like, because of those three players, especially the way we're looking and seeing from them right now, makes me feel a lot more confident in this lineup that it's going to be, I say deep, in the sense of comparatively evil, what we have seen, right? But honestly, like, 1-6 should be quite competent.
Yeah.
Maybe 7 or 8 at some point. But also, like, the ones who are sitting in the 1-6 could actually be pretty good. Pretty damn good, you know? Like, not just competent, but pretty damn good.
Right.
So, again, like, the floor to me of this team is looking a little bit better right now. I'm feeling a little more confident. That, again, like, it's not just going to be like a bottom 5-10 baseball team. Close to 10, like, it could, right? 10, but like, bottom five. We'll take yeah, bottom five out. We'll take bottom five out. I'm getting excited and very interested in this lineup right now.
Yeah, and you should be. Like, I'm not here to ruin your hopes that this lineup should, like, I think the lineup looks pretty good. It's the best lineup Ben Cherington's ever put together. And there are legit reasons to be excited about certain guys in this position player unit.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. I feel like so we didn't even say Key Brian Hayes' name this whole time, but again, like, he looks great too. So
yeah. I mentioned it, but we haven't like dived down because we kind of did last week, but like, he's carried over exactly what we talked about.
Yeah, we talked about Hayes a lot so far this spring. But again, you're seeing everything you want to see out of him too.
Like, right. Cabrian is batting .409. He has 9 hits, 3 homers, and a double in those 9. He's batting .409, .435. He's slugging .864.
Yeah.
And his outs are like 100 mile an hour outs.
Yeah, he didn't hit a single ball less than 100 miles an hour yesterday.
It's ridiculous. Like, it's ridiculous how good he looks at the plate right now. Again, you want to see it in April and May, June, July, August, September. But this, you also want to see them March, and he's doing it. So no complaints, that's for sure.
Yeah, they're at least giving us less reasons to be concerned, especially on the offensive side. I said the pitching, though, you're still waiting for somebody to step up.
Right. No, that's absolutely fair. Like, there's definitely been positives in Rowanzi and Ortiz, but you still see some of the things that you've seen out of them that makes you cringe. And then Quinn Priester, I don't know.
Yeah.
He might be a two-inning guy.
Yeah, we talked about Priester a lot on the post game yesterday. So if you haven't watched that, go back and watch that. But it's just, you're not seeing any real growth, I think, out of him, which is concerning.
Very much. Very, very much. All right. Well, we talked quite positively, and for me, quite optimistically about this lineup. Was there anything else that you want to talk about? Because we did want to get into like that spring breakout game as well. That's going to be coming up this week, which we'll
We can just touch on it.
Live.
We talked about spring breakout on Thursday on NS9 Live. So I don't know how deep we need to go into it, but it it's a really cool thing that Major League Baseball is doing. And the fact that they paired the Pirates up with the Orioles, you know, makes it even better, because now you get to see this past year's number one overall pick, last year's number one overall pick. The Orioles have a great system. The Pirates have some really good pitching prospects. We've seen a lot of Tremar Johnson this spring, so you'll get to see more of him. And you'll get to see him kind of be highlighted, right? I think that's the difference in a game like this as opposed to the other spring training games. Tomorrow's coming in the sixth inning. You know, you're kind of, if you're watching a spring training game, you're sort of, you know, tapped out by the sixth or seventh inning, really. But in this game, like, Tomorrow is going to be a featured player in this game. You're going to see a lot of guys who, you know, you've heard a lot about, but you may not have ever seen them before. So I think, yeah, it should be a fun game. I'm excited. Like, we're going to be doing our NS9 game day, which will be awesome. So, you know, we'll have some guests on throughout the game. We'll be talking about the game, talking about all the prospects. So that's I'm looking forward to Thursday night. Should be a fun event. I'm happy that they did this. Hopefully it goes well and they continue to do this going forward.
Yeah, I agree. And such a perfect time in spring. You know, that's one of the reasons that you do watch spring training games, right? Because, like, the normal average person probably doesn't, right? The person that is watching spring training games is probably, like, your baseball nerd. And that's when you see, like, these prospects play. You know, it's one of the things you're kind of excited for, like, who is going to get this spring training invite? You see Paul Skeens there. You see Paul Skeens still in Major League Baseball camp, right? So, like, that's still kind of interesting and cool. So you're seeing Paul Skeens pitch against Major League talent. And yeah, so like having this game, all like the top prospects and the ones that you like normally don't see actually, that have some interest, like you're going to see, and you said like highlighted in this game. So that is kind of cool. I like this whole idea. I think it's good for the players. It's good for the team, good for Major League Baseball. And I hope they do continue it as well. But yeah, like the fact that the Pirates and Orioles are like the featured one for this year, pretty cool. So, I'm very interested. We actually got a preview of it, right? The Paul Skeens to Jackson Holiday. I hope it goes just as well, part two for Paul Skeens, if not better.
I mean, hopefully it lasts more than two pitches too. Like I kind of wanted to see like a battle between those two.
Yeah.
And it was two pitches. Now Skeens won the battle, but yeah, it would almost have been cool like for that to get to like a full count. Jackson's fouling off pitches and it's like Skeens either strikes him out or Holiday takes him deep. Like one of those two outcomes would have been kind of incredible. Obviously the strikeout outcome being better, but yeah, that's definitely something to look to. But I mean, looking at this list, 9 out of the 10 top prospects for the Pirates are going to be in this game. Jared Jones being the one sole exception because, well, he's pitching for a major league spot right now. But yeah, 1 through 10, all of the top prospects except for him. And there's some guys in here too that like you heard a lot about them. You know, they're international signees but maybe you haven't gotten a chance to see them yet. So yeah, I'm excited to see these guys. Like Tony Blanco Jr., for example. Like no one's really ever seen Tony Blanco play baseball. You know, unless you're paying attention to Bradenton the second half of last year, you never saw Yordani De Los Santos. No one's ever seen David Matoma pitch. So like that's another cool thing there. Estor Suero, another guy who none of us have ever seen this guy play baseball. So yeah, being able to see that, Johnny Severino, another guy who none of us have ever seen. So yeah.
As we jokingly say, outside of like the grainy cell phone from behind a fence, you've never seen these guys actually play baseball.
Yeah. Like we saw Tony Blanco take batting practice off of a coach in Pirate City, but it's like, that doesn't count.
Right. So yeah, that's a very good point. Like you're actually going to be seeing them on MLB Network, you know, like that's again pretty cool, and again like cool for them, like the exposure they get in that sense too. So I'm really excited for this game. As mentioned, tune in, we'll have NS9 game day, our first this year for that game, and we'll watch it live, have some guests on, have a good time, good conversation, and hopefully see Paul Skeens go 1-2-3, 3 strikeouts, 9 pitches.
Yeah, immaculate inning from Paul Skeens would be best case scenario, obviously.
Thanks.
That's usually the best case scenario for an inning.
Good call, Jim.
All right. Let's get out of here.
Let's do that. So appreciate everyone for watching. We will be back, of course, this week for all that fun, good stuff. And until then, see you later. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Hey, you all. Thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.